Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel Procession, John chapter 12. You may be seated. Dear Saints, I'm confused. That's not a joke, it's true. I'm confused about this day, what it's all about. And I'm not the only one who is confused. If you would indulge me for a moment and open your hymnals to the very beginning, look on page Roman numeral 10, the X at the bottom of the page, and it lists all of the Sundays and seasons of the church year. And you'll see Holy Week listed there. And the small red letters after the name of the day or the season are the color for that day. And you can see, if you look under Palm Sunday, it's scarlet or violet. So you have to pick one. And if you turn a couple pages later, on page Roman numeral 16, you'll see all the readings listed out for the year. And if you go to right after Lent 5 is Palm Sunday procession, the Sunday of the Passion. And if you look at the gospel readings, there's three choices plus the Palm Sunday gospel procession. So which is it? Is it Palm Sunday? Is it the Sunday of the Passion? What is it that we're doing here this morning? I did a little bit of web research on this topic, and it seems that in some traditions, the Passion Sunday is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and in some, you read Palm Sunday text at the beginning of the service, this the sixth Sunday of Lent, and then the Passion readings during the lessons. I always grew up with this being Palm Sunday, but it appears that the older tradition is actually that it's the Sunday of the Passion. Confusing. Whatever the liturgically correct thing might be to do, Palm Sunday in and of itself is, for me at least, the most confusing Sunday of the church year. Are we to celebrate Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, or to be sorrowful about what's to happen on Friday? We see a glimpse of that confusion even in our text this morning. On the one hand, the crowds are cheering, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." On the other hand, the Pharisees are angry and annoyed with Jesus, seeking a way to kill him. Two competing opinions. And in a mere 5 days, it's Good Friday, when the apparent joy of Palm Sunday vanishes. As the hymnist writes, "Sometimes they strew his way, and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day hosannas to their king. Then crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry." On Palm Sunday, they give their clothes for Jesus to sit upon, and they strew them in the road. On Friday, they steal his clothes and gamble for them. On Sunday, they cut branches off of trees to praise him. On Friday, they nail him to a tree to kill him. What are we supposed to think today? Jesus comes riding on in majesty, but we know that in lowly pomp, he rides on to die. I think this confusion stems from a more fundamental human problem. The confusion in Jesus' day was they really didn't know what kind of Messiah, what sort of Savior they needed. After all, they yell Hosanna, which means save us. They knew they needed saving, and this guy Jesus, he seemed like a viable candidate to get that done. In Matthew's account of Palm Sunday, we read these words, "And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Earlier, as when he had fed the 5,000, the people must have thought he was there to save them from hunger, perhaps to save them from ever having to work again. When he healed the sick and made the lame walk, the people must have thought he is our Savior from physical disease. As he rides on into Jerusalem, no doubt many of them think he was there to save them from the Romans. Of course, those things didn't happen. So what exactly was this Jesus saving them from? And we're no different. We have the same sort of questions today. What kind of God do we have? What good is Jesus for us anyway? If you listen to some, they might tell you that, well, God is just waiting for the right prayers or the right attitude so that he can give you whatever you want. Or perhaps some have the attitude that, well, if I just come to church on Sunday, that'll make God happy and I can pretty much do whatever I want the rest of the week. Or perhaps you're undergoing some sort of difficulty in your life, some kind of suffering, and you're asking yourself, does God really care? Who is this? This Jesus. In our reading, Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, a fairly humble animal, not typically a king's mount. The wealthy are not there to greet him with fine robes and purple garments, but ordinary people throw their cloaks in the road ahead of him. There are no loud trumpets to proclaim his entry, but little children singing praises. If this is the entrance of a king, it's certainly a strange one. A lowly king, a king with no army that anyone can see, a king with no powerful friends, in fact, a king with very powerful enemies. But we know that he is a king with all power, commanding legions of angels. The people proclaim he is the prophet from Nazareth, according to St. Matthew, and they're right. A prophet speaks God's word, and that is what Jesus has come to do, but no ordinary prophet. Jesus is God's word, made flesh. And though he has been heard preaching and teaching in the synagogues and in the temple, the priests, those who should know God's word, hate him. And the Pharisees are infuriated by their inability to confuse him with their theological tricks. Who is this? But the Jesus we encounter on Palm Sunday is also the Jesus of Good Friday. He comes as our king, though his kingship is hidden in humbleness and meekness. He comes to save his people, but not from the Romans, not from any earthly government, not from the drudgeries of work, but from our own weakness, our sin, our death. He comes not to give us whatever our hearts desire, but to satisfy our true need, to know the mercy and the forgiveness of God. He who created the world comes into his creation to find it racked with sin and evil, and he comes to defeat and destroy that evil for all time. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He comes bearing God's name, comes as God himself, not to display his power, but to show forth his might in kindness and love and sacrifice. Yes, he comes as a conquering king, and he is victorious over sin and death and the devil. The crowd is right, but perhaps for the wrong reasons. They are right to sing his praises, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. What does it mean for us? Perhaps it should cause us to reevaluate our ideas about strength and power, weakness, pride and humility, power and service. Some of you may have seen the movie Schindler's List, set in Germany in World War II. There's a particularly brutal concentration camp commander, and he's approached by the hero of the movie, Oskar Schindler. Now, this commander is known for his monstrous behavior and arbitrarily killing prisoners, even just as they walk by. And Schindler tries to convince him that real power is shown by those who show mercy. The commander is intrigued by this idea. He wants more power. And so he tries this new approach for a while, hoping to defeat his ego and feel even more powerful by showing mercy. Instead of killing someone who annoys him, he lets them walk by. But it doesn't work. He just feels weak and stupid and goes back to his preferred tactics of killing whoever he wants. But true power is found in Jesus, whose entire being is one of mercy toward us. Unlike this commander, Christ does not show mercy in order to gain power. He is merciful because he is all-powerful and all-loving. His mercy toward us is reflected in us as we show mercy to one another. Jesus tells us he came not to be served, but to serve. He came not to show off his perfect strength, knowledge, and power, but in humility, associated with the most lowly and despised people in society, healing them, loving them, forgiving them. He came not to throw us sinners into the hell we deserve, but weakly he allowed himself, a king, the king, to be killed, to make payment for our sinful weakness. As St. Paul writes, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Really, I suppose there should be no confusion about Palm Sunday. It is the day we celebrate the entry of God, the entry of Jesus, our King, into Jerusalem, into our world, into our lives. A King who conquers our most dread enemies, enemies we could never defeat on our own, Satan, sin, and death. Though he wins the victory not in a way our power-hungry world would expect. He defeats sin by being sinless. The power and pride of Satan with humility and love. And defeats death by dying and rising again. All this because of his great love for you and for me and our great need for him. We no longer need to ask, who is this? But instead, we can praise him with the words, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.